Let me just begin with what it's like to build something while you're living in it. Probably the best analogy somebody gave me yesterday was, imagine living in a submarine while you're trying to build it. And that's really what it is like living in a space station as you're trying to construct it. The first element of the International Space Station was launched a little over 10 years ago, as you had said, and humans moved in just a few short years later. Of course, it was kind of an embryonic station at that stage, but we have added to it. We've built it. We've added power modules. We've added habitation modules, and it is the size what it is today. It's about 750,000 pounds. It's the largest Earth object that was ever, or the largest orbiting Earth object that has ever been constructed by humans. I mean, it's visible to the naked eye easily at night, and if you know where to look during the day, you can even see it. It orbits about 250 miles above the Earth about 16 times a day, and it's an outpost from which we can conduct science and figure what it's going to take to get humans to the moon and on to Mars. Because Earth or space is kind of an unforgiving environment when it comes to the human body. You know, when you take a human body out of the gravitational field of Earth, you know, interesting things begin to happen. The bones begin to they begin to decalcify, and they get brittle only because they're not being used. So we've learned through 8 years of constant habitation on the space station exactly what it's going to take, such that when we do venture someday to Mars, what it's going to take to keep the humans who spent 9 months traveling there fit enough, such that when they finally step onto the Martian surface, they're going to be healthy enough to walk around. We're going to continue this program for, at least as a U.S. partner for the next 5 years, and hopefully well beyond that. It's been an exercise, I think, in international cooperation, because when we do mount a large interplanetary project, and going to Mars will be a huge interplanetary project, it's going to take the cooperation of not just all of the United States entities, but of course our partner nations, because this is going to be a huge push forth, and it's going to require the resources of just about everybody who knows anything about space to get there and do something like that. But I would like to, pay tribute briefly to Mike Fink. He's the International Space Station commander right now. He's been there since October. He made our mission up there, which I'll get to in just a moment, an absolute success. He's a fantastic guy, a member of the United States Air Force. Of course, Yuri Lonchakov is the Russian member up there. And we took Sandy Magnus, who's been living there since we left her there back in late November. She'll be returning on a space shuttle due to launch here in about 3 weeks. What we took up, if I can just summarize it, it was a three-bedroom, one-bathroom home. Before we got there, it's now a five-bedroom, two-bathroom outpost with a kitchen and some really, really beneficial exercise equipment, which will keep the astronauts healthy as they continue to push the edge of the envelope about how long humans can live in space. We took up a fantastic water recycling system, which will take condensed air out of the atmosphere, and it will recycle all bodily fluids, including urine, to make pure drinkable water the very next day. I know there's quite a yuck factor associated with that, but when we go to the moon, we can't take all of the water that we want to take. It's just too heavy. When we go on to Mars, we're going to have to figure out how to recycle just about everything. So, not only are we reaching out with cutting-edge technologies in space and what it takes to support humans up there, but we're also keeping very much to the green theory or the green movement in that NASA's all about it's all about recycling water at this point. It's all about how do we support humans far away from the Earth for a long period of time. And there will be trickle-down benefits that as we continue to contend with the environmental factors that affect the Earth, NASA will continue to develop these methods to make life better here for us.
I'm fascinated by the water recycling project. It just seems like something like that here would be so beneficial. It seems like if you could recycle it, it would solve so many problems. Is this sort of a way to kind of test and see if it would work here too, or am I reading fantasy into this?
No, not at all, Amy. I mean, I'm right there with you. It probably would not be cost-effective at this point to come up with a water recycling system that recycles all of our water. I mean, nature still does a pretty good job for us. But if you think about it, we're still a closed system here on Earth. Our wastewater goes to a wastewater treatment plant. From there, it's cleaned up. It's injected back into a river, which flows into the ocean. And it's picked up by the clouds as an evaporative, and it rains back down. I mean, it's really a closed system on Earth. What we've really done in space is we've actually made the system a lot more closed and a lot tighter. I think that for the near term, we're probably better off protecting the water resources that we have.
Yeah.
But it is. It's good to know that in the long term, if we do need some kind of very compact, very efficient system for combat soldiers out on the battlefield for submarine usage, you know, anywhere where there's a closed environment, NASA is pioneering this this system, which whereby you can recover about 85% of all the water that you put in. And, of course, there's a little bit of waste, and you can't control that, you know, by and large, I think it was, we've said you can turn yesterday's coffee back into today's coffee just with one of these cool machines. And it's alive and working well on the International Space Station right now.
So what is next for NASA? What do you anticipate from the incoming administration? Are you excited? Is there apprehension? What's next for you?
You know, stand by for Constellation. That's the next program coming down the road. Of course, the space shuttle will be going away here, at least as conceived of in the past administration in 2010. You know, there's a little bit of tentativeness, if you will, as to where our direction will come from the new administration. But we're convinced we'll stay the course, and before too long, we're going to get folks back up on the moon.